Hello, and welcome to episode 26 of LDS Women's Book Review Podcast. I'm Shanda here with my friends.
Sheila.
Hillary.
And we have a special guest with us here today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Jessica Day George.
Author of Dragon Slippers, Dragonflight, and Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. It's a really long book title.
But it's my appropriate
It's
title.
My favorite,
it
though.
It is.
My favorite of hers. We're so happy to have Jessica here with us so that we can discuss her books and what's in the works for her right now. Before we get into that, though, we'll start with our usual, any personal news that you feel you want to share?
Oh, I do. What? Oh, go for it. Okay, I haven't taken a
tell
test.
Who you are.
Oh, sorry. This is Hillary.
Well, people get us confused.
For some reason. I haven't figured that out yet.
I don't know either.
Sometimes we all do sound a little bit alike when we're all talking at once.
Maybe that's why. Had my first midterm in 12 years. Just so you know, I got 116 out of 110.
Woo!
How did you get that?
Extra credit.
Oh. Okay, so I was very excited.
Good job. It was a long, laborious midterm. Anatomy and physiology.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, it was kind of stunk.
Therapist.
But yes, ooh, at some point I will, if I ever graduate.
Well, she's training,
so,
to,
training
be
to be one. So yeah,
well,
anyway.
Congratulations. Though.
Thank you. Anything I have practicals else? This week. Oh. And for those like myself who only get to watch one show a week because that's all they have time for. So You Think You Can Dance is coming to Salt Lake.
Oh, I know you're going to be excited.
I am so excited.
About
I'm like skipping. Don't tell anyone, but I am sloughing a day of school, a night.
Yeah, don't
school.
Tell anybody.
Are you going to try out? Are you
oh, heavens no. No. No, they're coming. They're doing their tour. And they're actually coming to Salt Lake this time. They've gone everywhere else but Salt Lake. So I'm very excited.
I'm into America's Got Talent.
Cool. I like that
I'm with Jessica
too.
On that one. I'm not a big fan of the Hoff.
I
really
but
don't like him very much.
I like the Hoff, but
I don't
seeing
like
him sit there nodding thoughtfully while people like smash
isn't that like an oxymoron?
It's
weird to me.
What's interesting is they have peers.
I like
who
him.
Knows his stuff, and Sharon, who knows her stuff, and then they throw in the Hoff, and it's like, what does he know about?
He probably bribed his way. In,
well,
I don't know.
You gotta have your media attention.
Yeah,
and
well,
you know, and he's kind
and
of
with Hasselhoff.
Like
that's like the randomest it's, choice.
I know
it is random.
Weird Baywatch Knight Rider guy. He's a judge. Woohoo!
I know. Seriously.
Psych season 4 started last week. The 18th. Psych, everybody. It's,
I was going to say, because our DVR didn't pick it up, and it would have.
No, sorry. Next Friday night. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Sorry.
Well,
that's too exciting for
Battlestar
me.
Galactica, and I totally know who the fifth Cylon is. Email me if you want to know who the fifth Cylon is. I have it all worked out.
Give him your email address.
You can email me through jessicadaygeorge.com. I know who the fifth Cylon is, people. I do.
I sure wish I knew what she was talking about.
I have
Battlestar
no
Galactica,
idea.
Greatest show ever.
Really? I'll have to.
It's at the library. I saw one when I was looking through movies.
Second greatest show, BBC's Robin Hood.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yeah, on tomorrow night.
That would be good.
I just don't think I can squeeze in another show. Between America's Got Talent, Deadliest Catch.
Oh, I love Deadliest Catch.
I will just show you a picture of Robin Hood, and then I'll show you a picture of Guy of Gisborne, and you'll drop all your other shows.
Are they
serious?
Oh, yes.
And with the British accent.
And when Guy of Gisborne, he says, Marianne. He's in love with Marianne.
Marianne.
Oh, I love it.
No, I'll have to take your word for it. I'll check it out.
That's funny.
I love the British accent.
Anything else, though?
Oh, I think that about covers it.
Well, I'm doing something exciting next Saturday. I signed up for the Writing for Charity. So I'm so excited.
I saw that you would want to do it.
Yeah, so I'm taking my little children's picture book story that I've been writing for the last 2 years, and I'm going to go and throw it at those people and have them hopefully say nice things about my story, but or give me some good feedback. I need some good feedback.
Oh, this is the one that Shannon Hale has organized, right?
Yes.
Shannon, Brandon Mole.
Yep.
Wendy Tolliver,
there's a
bunch of people.
A lot of authors are going to be there.
I think
I'm excited.
It's a great opportunity for
well, it will just be really good just because I can get some good, honest feedback and head me in the right direction, but I need to do, you know, to get my book ready, and I'm excited.
I'm sure that'll go really well.
Anything
I'm
else?
Sure of it.
Oh, I'm just nervous about it.
Did you guys have a good 4th of July?
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah,
did
I did
barbecue fireworks.
Barbecue.
It's my favorite
fireworks.
Holiday. The 4th of July and the Easter
Slept
are my two
in.
Favorite holidays. I know
really?
It was so great. Yeah. Oh yeah, I love it. And he had we do the same thing every year, and I just love it. I just count down for the 4th of July. Yeah. And there's not even presents.
Alina came over and spent the day, and we kind of had fun with the kids, and then we went over to my in-laws and swam and had barbecue. And we found the cutest shirt for Riley for 4th of July. No. I have to tell you, it says on the front, there's some stars, and it says, "Hey, America, guess what?" And on the back, it says, "I'm going to be a big brother."
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Seriously?
What?
Seriously.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to think about that for a second.
I did too.
It was kind of, I'm sitting here going, excuse me? What does that say?
That's what it
This would be your closest about. Together ever. Oh, my gosh.
So, okay, so how far are okay, when you kept looking around going, anyone, any news? I knew she had something.
I was just sitting there going, I'll let them sit and talk about TV shows for a while, and then I'm going to drop a bomb.
I know.
And that is a bomb. Oh, my gosh.
So how far apart are you and your sister's baby's going to be?
3 weeks.
Is that all?
I know.
Oh, my word.
Is not that far.
I'm 10 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe February 1st.
That is so great.
I'll laugh if you have the baby on the 4th. I will laugh.
I know.
Hysterically. It's my daughter's birthday and everyone's birthday.
Yes. And my daughter's birthday is the day before hers.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
I'm just hoping we can skip Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, skip
Groundhog's Day. I don't know. My husband would like it. He loves that movie.
If it's a girl, you can name her Punxsutawney. If it's a boy, you can name him Phil.
See, it's perfect.
I love name suggestions.
Punxsutawney.
That's perfect. Come
on. I think I should name it, well, what were you going to name your baby?
Atticus Higginbottom.
Yes.
After James Dashner's hero. Yes.
I love that. That's hilarious.
I can't believe you.
I thought it would be a lot of fun to tell you guys on the podcast.
I think it's fun. It is good. Well, we're all just sitting here looking at each other.
I don't get it.
Huh?
I don't get that shirt at all.
Because, I mean, it's so easy to keep it a secret because nobody exactly. would eat. We wouldn't necessarily purposefully have.
No. Well, okay. So. For anyone that doesn't know, Shanda's kids are all like 4 and 5 years apart
all
here.
3.5 and 6 years.
Exactly.
There's a big gap.
21 months. So I'm going to be a very busy woman.
You're catching up. Did you read my memoirs? Something about how not to have children so close together? I mean,
I've already had someone say, "You understand how this happens, right?"
Oh gosh.
And I just said, "Some things happen no matter what you do."
I'll second that. In fact, I can third that one because I've got two.
So that was my big personal news.
Anyway,
should we move on to book news?
Let's do it.
Let's do book news. After Jessica has some personal news.
No. Obsessed with Robin Hood, I'm fine.
Okay, so as far as book news, I actually have a few things. Jenny Hansen has a new blog.
Really?
So you can go to jennylhansen.com.
I'll have to do that.
And check it out. We already talked about the writing for charity event. And Liz,
did we give details? How do you sign up?
We talked about it last week, our last podcast. I think I had more details then. You have to go to...
You can find it either probably on Shannon's site
or
James...
Brandon Moles.
Right, Brandon Mole. I think James Dashner. Does he have... Is he going to be there too?
Writer's blog too.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
Dashner is iffy. He promised his wife he would take care of the kids for once. And that is hilarious. Well, she's a girls' camp, so he That's wasn't funny. Sure.
Okay.
And I'll be out of town or I would be there.
Aw, darn it.
First vacation in 3 years. Come on.
Oh, you deserve it then.
No, I think you can find the information at 6LD.
Yeah, I just don't know if they're still accepting people. They just said that they would keep accepting applicants and people until it was full, and I'm not sure what full was.
As of a week ago, they were not even half full.
Serious?
At half capacity. So they were worried that it was practically going to be one-on-one.
Oh, I don't. That sounds good to me. Yeah, they're like, could be good or bad, but that's true. It could be like too real. What are you doing? You can't write.
You have to tell us how it goes.
I will. Very interesting. No, the bad part is I'm going camping, and I will be coming from the campground straight to the library where it is taking place, and I'm just. You'll
have my husband's favorite perfume on then.
Well, good.
That's his app. If they could bottle it, it would be campfire.
Well, good. No, Shannon said she liked that smell too.
Back to book news.
Yes.
Little distraction.
Liz has a new book out called Freshman for President, and you can check it out at freshmanforpresident.com. Also, there's something going on called Summer Book Trek 2008, and it's from June 1st to August 31st. You can find out more about it at ldspublisher.blogspot.com. Off on the right, she has a link to what is it, and it'll tell you what you need to do. You make a list of your goals, what books you want to read, and at least one of them, or they need to be LDS fiction books. And then you need to write a review on one of them and put it on your blog or some such thing like that.
Cool.
She can tell you the details, but there are prizes that you can win. So
very cool.
If you're interested in that, I know there's probably other places you can look at it, but the only place I personally know of is at ldspublisher.blogspot.com. Also, Kirsten Campbell, she has a couple of books coming out, Booby Trapped and Other Amazing Adventures in Motherhood. That's coming out in May 2009. I thought that sounded kind of fun.
I'm interested.
So if you're interested, Kirsten Campbell, I think it's K-E-R-S-T-E-N, Campbell, Campbell,
yep.
.com.
Yep.
I don't know why I have this written down here. You have to forgive me. The Daffodil Principle by Geraldine Edwards. I just wrote that down. I don't know why.
Geraldine Edwards. Why does her name ring a bell?
I hate when I write something down and don't put a note of why I wrote it. Anyway, there's also, if you're in Salt Lake County, they have a blog, saltlakecountyonebook.blogspot.com, if you're interested in something like that. I have to add Tracy Abramson's information. She has a blog also. I'm sorry.
Can't talk tonight.
TracyAbramson.blogspot.com.
Cool. I would like to check that
Tracy
out.
Tracy with an I or a Y.
T-R-A-C-I. A-B-R-A-M-S-O-N. Abramson. There's no H or anything like that. It's just Tracy with an I. Abramson.
Sorry, Tracy. Had a hard time with your name.
That's true. Yeah, I know. Well, and also we had met the up-and-coming author, April Lynn Pike. I went to her blog spot.
I love her.
Yeah, well, so she's going to be there at the Writing for Charity also. On her blog, she announced about a week or so ago that they finally have a title for her new book.
In
the first book in her series, it's going to be called Wings. Remember, it's about the 15-year-old. I can't remember if that 15-year-old turns into
a fairy.
She becomes
a fairy and finds out that it's not.
She's all excited about that, and I'm excited for her. I mean, that's going to be – I'm going to read it.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it. And then I don't know if you've gone to our website, but I did a little initial blog. I'm on the Far World blog tour this summer with J. Scott Savage. We've got to say it correctly. Mm-hmm. It's J. Scott Savage with his new fantasy book. And I will be blogging again, an official blog on what I thought about the book and everything, and also be interviewing him.
Last week in July.
That's when he assigned me. He's assigned everyone that's part of the blog tour. And so, but what's really bad is I've been reading everyone else that has been blogging about this, and they're taking, and you can like interview him in a real exotic place. And I'm going, how am I going to do this? I need to think of someplace really exotic, but you guys are going to like where I have chosen. You will think it's funny, and hopefully it will be just as funny, because there's been some really hilarious interviews with Jeff.
I can't wait.
J. Scott Savage.
Call him Savage.
Savage. There you go. I think that'll be the best thing to do. But I will be doing that, and we are going to be having a contest here.
Hammering out of the details.
Yes, we are.
On the website.
Where you can win your own copy of Waterkeep, Far World. We have a copy for you guys out there, and there will be two different ways we're going to have that you can possibly win your copy. So please go to our website, because that's where you'll be able to get the information and know what to do.
That's ldswomensbookreview.com.
But it's a great book. I thoroughly enjoyed reading it, and I'm excited for the next one. Well, have you read that?
Yes, I have.
Did you like it?
Yes, I did.
I did too. I mean, it's like where he ended it. It was like, hey, you don't, it was like a commercial break, and then they didn't come back after commercial break. But this is very notorious. Savage does this. We know this.
There's no other book news we can get into recent reads unless you have a little more.
Well, I do. There was a person, an aspiring author, who's writing a book right now. His name's Darren Hansen. He contacted me through our website, or through the LDS Women's Book Review email. And he is writing a book, and you know, he says it's a tentative title. It's called A Sandcastle Against the Tide, and it's a fantasy book. He just said he noticed that I was the one that liked fantasy books, so
that's putting it mildly.
So
there's nothing wrong with liking fantasy.
No, there is not.
Obviously there's not, because she's getting all the book requests.
Seriously, you know, there's something there. But he is doing something unique. Not a lot of authors do this. His book has not actually been picked up and published, and you know, he hasn't done all that. He has it online though, and he has all these people reading it as he is writing it, and giving us the feedback to him as he is in the process of writing it. It is, and it's been really good so far. I really like it. But he said, I just asked if it was okay if we mentioned about this, and he just said he's shopping the manuscript out to various agents and editors right now. And he says the title may change between now and publication, and I'm sure Jessica is going,
oh, yes.
Yes on that, huh? And he said, just say, let people know if you're going to be doing this for an author. He says the most important thing is the reader feedback is to writers as they refine and polish their manuscripts. And the story, I really like it because there's this little kid. He's staying with his grandparents for the summer. And I don't know if he's little. He's probably 9 or 10. But his grandfather has access to another world. And it's through the house, and there's, it's like this little,
like a portal or something.
Yeah, it is. It's just like another portal.
And like maybe a wardrobe?
Well, it's not a wardrobe though, but there's a special way to access it. I know. Isn't she bad? But I think it's been very interesting, but there's a lot of evil characters that are trying to also find this world. And if the bad, you know, it's the good against evil. You know me. I love any books that have the good against the evil and the
evil. Tell him if he writes a series, you're in.
Oh, of course. Of course. Of course. But no, I thought I'd mention it, but I know, she has to tease me about this a lot, but there's a lot of people out there that are like me, so.
There are.
But it's good so far. I've been enjoying it, and I just think it's really neat, and I hope he can find someone to pick this up, because I think it'd do really well.
Is it only certain people who can read it, or do other
people? Well, he just approached me about it. I mean, if you guys are interested, I can send you his email, and I'm sure that he'd, you know, give you the access code or whatever he did, you know, so I could sign up. But I think you'd like it too, Shanda.
Okay.
You would too. You would probably really be good to give him feedback.
She's speaking of Jessica.
I'm talking to Jessica. I'm saying Jessica could probably.
I don't know. I'm mean.
Well, you'd probably give him better feedback than me.
Manuscript? Do you really want to know what I think? I'm very mean.
Well, I don't know if you'd be as mean as Hillary.
I knew you were going to look at me. I knew it.
See, Hillary would be a lot meaner, but I don't know. I just think it's very good.
Yeah, I looked right at me when you said that. When Jessica said, I'm mean with manuscripts.
Self-conscious.
But going on to recent reads, are we heading on to recent reads now?
Go for it.
Since I'm already talking.
Okay.
I found a new author to me. His name's James A. Owen, and he is LDS. And his first book in the series, it's called The Chronicles of the Imaginary... Let me do this right. Of the Imaginarium Geographica. And the first one was called Here There Be Dragons. And the second one is The Search for the Red Dragon. And I have to tell you, it moves along at such a fast pace. But what I love about this, it takes all of these different works, all this different literature, and they're all in the same story. You know, he takes a little bit out of this from Robin Hood and then from Merlin here. And then, I mean,
a hodgepodge.
I love it. But he blends them all into this world.
Potpourri.
Yes, a potpourri is perfect. I mean, Peter Pan is in the second one.
It does.
It does sound a lot nicer.
Peter Pan?
Yeah, Peter Pan is in the second one.
Oh, really?
I knew that would pique your interest. I thought that would be good for you because I knew you'd like that. At the very end of the first book, you find out who these three caretakers of the Geographica are, and they are famous writers. And I'm not going to say who they are, but at the very end, you're just going, ah! I was screaming and just jumping up and down because I was like, yay, these writers.
She's such an enthusiast.
I am. Yeah. I love it.
That's good.
See, it is good.
You should be excited to read.
It is. And you know what? That's always my mantra. I mean, that's why I'm a good teacher. You know?
Some juicy fiction in front of Hillary, and she starts drooling.
It's nonfiction. Juicy nonfiction.
Well, depending on the fiction.
I've been to say nonfiction.
I love my nonfiction.
Kitty Kelly's The Royals.
No, I haven't read that one. Although, I do like biographies.
Nonfiction? I meant nonfiction.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of juicy nonfiction out there, but I do love my nonfiction, so.
But yes. You know what? That's why there's all these books that sell. I mean, if we all like the same type of book, then, you know, they'd get boring after a while.
That's why I asked who I did to do this.
Exactly.
Actually, I have to say, I'm very excited. I have a book waiting for me at the library that I have been waiting for forever.
What is it?
Is it the last speech? No, that's not right. The last... lecture.
Oh,
that's it. Last lecture.
Oh, you know what? I brought it home and I didn't get to read it all. So
I've been waiting 2 months.
So I know I was on the waiting list for a long time too. Did you see him on Dateline?
I actually saw. I read it in the Parade magazine.
Okay, so I actually saw him on the Dateline special.
You did see it.
It's a professor that is dying.
I've heard of it.
And yeah, Well, I don't know if our listeners have heard of it or not, but he's dying, and he was asked to give his last lecture, like a lot of times they do with professors.
When they retire.
Exactly, when they retire.
It was a YouTube video, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, I've seen parts of the YouTube video. Yeah, it was.
But I actually saw it when they had a Dateline special. That's when I first heard of him, and I was so impressed.
I can't wait to read it. I've been really looking forward to it.
So I'm back on the waiting list again. I'm probably number 120 again. Yeah, hurry.
I forgot one thing. You know how a few podcasts ago we talked about how many books there were on the 2008 Whitney Award eligible list?
There are, how many are on there now?
There's 49 then. There's 64 now. Oh,
boy. And you know what? This is July. It's going to be that much bigger. Mm-hmm. And so I know.
I don't think I wouldn't expect anyone to read all of them, but there are some good things on there. I happen to know that our guest Jessica Day George has one on there.
Yes, she does. Only one? There should be two.
She has two.
Dragonflight and Sun
and Moon, Ice and Snow.
I say I've nominated both of them already.
Well, she was her book Dragon Slippers was nominated in two categories.
Three categories. Thank you very much.
That was all the way back in March.
Novel of the year.
And best new author.
Best new author, which I actually won, and then also best
chill.
I thought it was YA fantasy.
YA.
I think it was.
They broke that down weird.
It was a little bit weird.
Are they changing the categories at all for next year? I'm wondering if they. Yeah, I think they have.
But yeah, she was nominated for three categories for one of her books. I can't wait to see what happens with these two.
Well, like I said, I've already nominated.
They might have to put in a clause just because of me. I'm only put one of these in one category. That's all.
But Brandon Sanderson was nominated for two of his books last year.
Two different books, just one in each category.
Right.
Stephanie Meyer is also going to have The Host and Breaking Dawn,
and I'm sure she'll be nominated for both too.
I'm sure about a million people will probably nominate her. But Michelle Paige Holmes beat her out
in romance. Yep.
So you never know.
That was quite the upset.
Yes, it was.
My husband was sitting there going, Stephanie Meyer isn't here. I mean, who's going to accept the award for her? You know, we thought it was a done deal. And it wasn't.
No.
That was interesting.
We really like Michelle Paige Holmes. She came on.
She's adorable.
She's fun.
She contacted me and sent me a copy of her book, and I read it and loved it, passed it on. And
it was wonderful.
Really liked the book, and we had her on.
It was good. We had so much fun. It was a fun podcast.
It was kind of like our own little... you know, sister author up there.
It was fun.
The very, very first Whitney Award ever.
That's an honor.
That's right. She was the very first one.
She was.
So we were all so proud of her.
It was a very motherly moment for us.
Yes, but then well, sisterly. Jessica, and we were like,
well, no, I was thrilled for her too because my daughter had already read her book, and then I had read it by that point because my daughter had been so excited about it. So I was thrilled for you. It's like I voted for yours.
So with 64 books, there are plenty of books to go and check out and read. Some of them, I don't know how available they are to even here in Salt Lake, because I know some of them are independent publishers. And things like that, but there are plenty of books
to
choose from.
Where's the list?
Yeah, tell them about the list again.
ldspublisher.blogspot.com. And if you just page down on the right hand side,
there?
I'm telling you, that's the resource.
That is where I found about the Here There Be Dragons.
Yeah, James Ellen's on that list.
Yeah, because I went there just to see, I better be looking at some of these books ahead of time. You know, and that's when all of a sudden it was like, ooh, this looks good.
So even if you don't read every book on that list, you're going to find some that interest you. Hillary, what have you been reading?
What? I'm done. Okay. I mean, there's other books I've read and I just can't think of what they were.
This month was not a good big reader month for me. This is the only book that I got done.
Dragonflight?
This is
I read Dragonflight.
You're going to pick one book to read.
Oh, I'm not complaining.
And you know what? I read Dragonflight in Fablehaven 3 last month, so I already reported on that.
Yeah, okay.
So I read this one, and as I've said previously, and I'll say it again, not a big fan of sci-fi fantasy, but I enjoy these.
She has to say that she's sitting next to me.
No, you can listen to the other podcast. We did Dragon Slippers. Loved it. I thought it was adorable.
And it's a series.
I know. I'm not sure how come I like it, really.
So are you doing a third?
Oh. Yes, there will be a third.
Yay!
I just finished the rough drafting.
Can you rough draft the third one?
Yes, I can.
We don't have to edit that.
So are we going to have some...
kingly babies coming along?
You know,
kingly
all I have to
dragon
say,
babies?
We're not even going to talk about that. All I have to say is,
I won't Sheila. Say who's going to get married, who's going to have children, or dragonlets.
Oh!
I won't say. Hatchings. There might be hatchings or weddings.
There
or
has to be.
Small dogs being cute because it's my small dog and she can do whatever she wants in my book.
My Pippin.
Pippin.
Yeah.
I love Pippin.
And that was one of the things that just made me laugh when I got to the end and I read that and I thought, Pippin, she has Pippin.
No, what made me laugh more was where she named Luca from. I was like, yes. Oh, yeah. I love Luca.
Dr. Luca on yes. VR.
I love it.
That's the first thing I thought it was his. Oh.
He's nice and nice. Very nice.
Mr. Croatian
yes.
accent
oh,
guy.
Oh, and very hot. Tall and yes. Yummy. Doctor. Almost as yummy as chocolate.
He was the only reason I watched ER for a while.
That's the reason why I started watching ER.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, hey, it's that guy from Practical Magic.
You have you spilled the beans. You watch TV based on whether there's hot men in it.
It's Robin so true.
No, I watch Reaper. Yeah. Have you seen the guys on Reaper?
No.
Not attractive.
I
never
watched
Reaper.
I don't even know what that is.
Reaper is one of the funniest shows on television. It's about a kid who's just a slacker. He works at basically Home Depot. He tried to go to college, but it made him sleepy.
Oh,
so his parents let him drop out because they feel bad because it turns out they sold his soul to the devil before he was ever born. And when he turns 21, the devil comes and makes him a bounty hunter and he goes after escaped souls. But the devil really likes this kid and he hangs out with him all the time. He'll appear in his kitchen and make him omelets. And it's really, really hilarious.
What channel is this on?
It's on the CW. It's one of the Reaper? Funniest shows, but like, yeah, Reaper. This kid and his friends, and they all work at like Home Depot. So they call it the workbench, but you know, so they like
it's
get
Home
stuff,
Depot.
You know, drills and things, and use them as their weapons, you know, against these souls, and they drop the souls off at the DMV.
Where do you that?
Oh
where
no,
do you find these things.
I read Entertainment Weekly.
Is that your guilty pleasure?
Cover to cover every sentence. Every week. It's so terrible. And this week's issue, ladies, is
yes.
all about Twilight.
Really?
Is it really?
It is. It is the, like, full-on Twilight issue. Cover stories, interviews with Stephanie, and...
Are there interviews with the actors that play them, like Robert Pattinson?
Yes,
I really
are.
Liked him a lot.
And there are numerous pictures. Although I have to say, the cover picture was a little creepy.
Really? What is it?
Because it's him with his vampire makeup on, and I think it's too close of a shot. It's like the film makeup.
Oh.
So he's very grayish.
Serious.
And she, you know, he's holding Bella, and so it's, I think they should have not used that much makeup on him in that cover shot. I was like, whoa!
Ooh!
I'm sorry. I just have to tell you what just happened.
I can edit this part out.
No, don't edit this out. Shanda is making people unwrap chocolate for her. She's like signaling, unwrap this for me. To like people.
Can I peel you a grape?
Your microphones are on stands. I'm holding mine. And if I try to unwrap while I'm holding my mic, you guys are going to hear the wrapper and it's going
to
be loud.
So I didn't mind walking off. To the little corner and unwrapping your candy bar. I'll do anything for you.
Learn to unwrap chocolate with your toes. Come on.
No, I want to hear what I mean, you have to know about Jessica. Not only is she this wonderful author, but she reads a lot, and that's why I really like her. And so I want her to tell us what some of her favorite books are. What have you been reading lately that you just absolutely
love? What have I been
loved?
Reading lately, or what
I mean,
my favorite
no,
books?
Just what your favorite books out of all
that
those.
I was mean.
Because there's a lot of them, I know, because we've all been going.
I have, like, thousands of favorite books. Is that so terrible? People
no.
ask me, and then I just look at them blankly.
Well, no, because you can like more
blink,
than one.
Blink.
Well, what are some books you've enjoyed recently?
Recently, and my mind goes completely blank.
Should we look on Goodreads.com?
Yes, let's look on Goodreads.com. I just finished I, Coriander, actually, by Sally Gardner. Which
that
was
looks
so
good.
Really
unusual.
I have that marked as a to-read at
was
Goodreads.
Really, really good. It was very different.
Really?
They kind of, the cover blurb makes it sound like it's this cute story who gets
but it's
this
not.
Girl, she gets some magic shoes and it takes her to a fairyland. No, 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 no.
Why, what happens when she gets to the fairyland?
It's not even about the fairyland. She lives in the middle of the Great Civil War in England in like the now my mind goes blank on dates. 1600s was that when Cromwell took over and they killed King Charles the First, and everyone was afraid of their neighbors reporting on them. And
see,
everything.
That sounds good to me.
You could be arrested for not going to church. So there she is, and her mom was basically not human, and they're not real super religious, and living in this time of incredible Puritan religious oppression and stuff like that. Wow. Very different. Really liked it. So I coriander.
No, that's my definitely on one of my
very good
to read. What else?
So I just read the second Lux novel. Have to say, they get me with the covers, the girls in the pretty dresses. And I think,
I know.
Oh, the Lux. It's sort of like Age of Innocence. It's set in that time period in old New York, 1899, the very, very wealthy. And then it's like Gossip Girl mixed with that. It's like the friends and the sort of the cattiness and the gossip and the stealing each other's boyfriends type of thing. But it's set in 1899.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, so I just read the second one, which is Rumors. So.
And what's the first one?
The first one is The Lux.
Okay.
And the author's last name is Godberson.
That is such an interesting
That's
one.
A mouthful.
Anna Godberson, The Lux. And the second one is Rumors. G-O-D-B-E-R-S-O-N.
Oh, okay.
Anna Godberson.
Okay, so tell me, where do you... Where do you find your books? Do you hear it from... Do you get your ideas from your friends, from your book club, from... Publishing companies, where do you get your ideas to get your books?
That was fun. Let me just say, I just read a really super cute book. If you are not a sci-fi and fantasy fan, called No Cream Puffs by Karen Day.
Ooh, this not related like to me.
Really?
It's set in 1980, and it's a girl who wants to play baseball. And at the time, there is no girls' baseball or softball team in her town. So she is going to be the only boy, or the only girl on the boys' team.
Boy, this is sounding suspiciously familiar.
But she does not want this to be, like, about feminism. Her mom's all excited because her mom's a big feminist and stuff.
Well, no, mine wasn't about feminism either.
She just wants to play baseball, and it's really kind of embarrassing to her, the reaction that people have. That, oh, she's the girl and the boy. You know, people start coming to the games to see how the girl plays, and it makes her really nervous.
This is sounding so familiar.
Why?
It's gonna be right,
cause I think you need to read this, Hillary.
She's very sporty.
This sounds like a book for you.
Well, you need to read this book.
In high school, I was the only girl on a boys' hockey team, and people would come to watch to point at the girl. So,
field
yeah.
or ice?
Ice.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Here.
Ice hockey teams here?
Oh, plenty.
I'm missing out.
You're totally missing out.
She could tell you a lot about it.
I could tell you. If you want to know, I mean, it won't work very well pregnant, just so you know. But, yeah.
Would you be playing or watching?
I would just want to be watching.
No. I'm just like, yeah, let's see just down there.
No. I can kind of skate. I can go forward.
Okay, now getting back to my question.
Oh,
where do you get your idea for all of these books?
To find books to read.
Yeah, because you know where I'm getting all my ideas. I'm coming to Goodreads. I see something that Shanda puts down, and I see something that you put down, and I see something that my friend Julie puts down. It's like, I almost have as many books to read as I do on my read list.
That is what I was going to say. I was going to let our readers know that on our homepage, our page,
yes.
You can actually see what we're reading. We have our Goodreads blurb thingy up there that shows you the books that we're reading.
Well, I'm still reading Mistborn. Have you read Brandon Sanderson's Mistborn?
I haven't read Mistborn.
It is so detailed. It's really good. I'm to the point where it's really, really good, but it's just so detailed. I mean, he goes into some major details in his writing. He really does. So that one's taking a little bit longer to read. It really is. I picked up another one from the library called The Zookeeper's Wife. Have you heard about that?
Oh, I've heard about that, yeah.
It sounds really, really good. It takes place during World War II. And this couple, they own a zoo, and they're like kind of smuggling the Jews through their, you know, hiding them in their zoo. At least that's the premise. Really, I know. Doesn't that sound interesting?
Isn't it a true story?
I think so. Yeah. I just picked it up like yesterday.
Zoo or something
but
like
it just sounded so fascinating. So I'll be reporting on that one next time.
Go to LDSWomensBookReview.com, and you'll be able to see different news and events that we're going to be updating and also what we're reading.
Ooh, I just finished Wizards at War, last book in Diane Duane's Young Wizards series.
I'd never heard of those, and I they looked good.
I have been reading these as they've come out, and it has taken so long that when I started this one, I thought, they're still just 14. Shouldn't they be like 35 by now?
Is this the last one, or does she have more?
This is the last one.
Okay, so now I can start
the
series.
Book 8, yes. And the first one is So You Want to Be a Wizard.
Okay.
I'll write that down.
Because this girl picks up a book at the beginning at the library. She's the little sets at the library they have. Right. You know, like, so you want to be a nurse. So you want to be a teacher that, like, describe different careers. And she comes to the last one in the set, and it's called, so you want to be a wizard. And she picks it up, and it all starts from there. Now there's 8 books, and each book is progressively thicker. This last one was, like, 500 and something pages. But
wow. Who's the author?
Diane Duane.
Diane Duane.
Who's a wonderful author. I love Diane Duane stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's more books.
But, yeah, when I started reading these, I was 14. And so, yes, I was expecting these people to be married and have kids by now.
And they haven't.
Come on. In their time, it's only been like a year.
You're going, hey.
So, hello, your sister still has a Yoda bedspread. Where would you even get one nowadays?
Yeah. So what about you, exactly, Shanda? What did you want to tell us what you read?
I've been reading
What to Expect When You're Expecting.
No, actually.
She remembers still. She, the problem is she's had her other baby so close this time, she doesn't need to read it to remember.
Need a refresher.
Her mind's already still there.
This is called morning sickness. I thought I was dying.
You don't get morning sickness.
I know. I want to smack her too.
Evil.
I'll completely second that one, Jessica.
Okay, so tell me, what are you reading? Or
well,
have read.
Last time we talked about a book called Madigan's Fantasia.
Oh, I remember you talking about that.
Apparently, she has written a number of children's books, things like that.
Really?
She's a favorite of a lot of people. But after finishing the book, I read it some different reviews, and there were some people who kind of felt the same way I did about it. Didn't really capture them. You know, I mean, it's such an interesting premise. I kept
it is. It sounded wonderful.
The book, but sadly, I found myself reaching, you know, when we get to exciting parts. And I would be, like, skimming through, like, in the boring parts. Just, like, it wasn't really... After a while, the book didn't seem to change levels anymore. You know, like, it was kind of changing and things were interesting, and then it just kind of stayed the same. Oh. Make any sense? I mean, it was a well-written book as far as the writing style was all... You know, it carried well. There was some flow, but there was something about it that... And I don't know. I think maybe Sheila would be able to give it a go. A go, maybe, but it just... And I'm not extra picky when it comes to young adult fantasy because I really like being swept away in stuff like that too. But there was just something about it. It got a little tedious for me.
Margaret Mahey's written like thousands of books. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are picture books. So I sometimes wonder how you can write picture books all the way up to teen and still.
I don't know. But I was a little bit, you know, the whole premise of it, I was really excited to read it. I was a little sad, to be honest.
Well, it was a thick book, too.
I was really
too.
Looking forward to the whole thing. But anyway, and then I also read The Blue Sword by Robin McKinley, which is an all-time favorite of a lot of people that I know. And I really enjoyed the book. There are a few things I kind of got hung up on, and Jessica and I were talking about them a little earlier.
Yes,
Jessica,
I'm over here grinning because all-time favorite book. No.
Yeah, which Jessica, it's one of her. And in fact, weren't you saying that this one and another one are the
Hero in the Crown and The Blue Sword by Robin McKinley are the reason why I am a fantasy writer or a writer at all. They're the two Excuse books me. That I read when I was 11 and said, this is what I want to do. These are the coolest books ever. And I looked and she gave it 3 stars. I was like, what?
No, but the what? 3 stars for me is good.
Yeah.
3 stars for me is
I gave it 5 stars.
You know, if I could do half stars, or I give it like 3 3/4 stars.
I gave it 5 stars.
I'm going to read both of those, and then I will tell you what stars I gave them.
I do tell this.
No. She has good reasons.
I would read The Hero and the Crown, and, you know, because I haven't read that one. I just read The Blue Sword, and Hero and the Crown takes place before... even though it was written after. So I'm going to read that one, and I'll go back and read The Blue Sword again and see if it changes my perspective on it a little. My problem wasn't with... I loved the characters, the setting, the writing style. Everything was there. I just got hung up on a few things to do with the main character, the heroine. And that's it. Everything else about the book... I mean, I would recommend this book to a lot of people, to anyone. That's just, you know... There were just a couple things that I kind of got hung up on. But the book is a really good book. Anyway, and then I also read, of course, Dragonflight, which I was very happy to read.
Woohoo!
By Jessica Day George.
Ooh, okay. I haven't read that yet. Now, which cover do you like better? Do you like the Dragonflight or the Dragon Slippers cover better?
I like the original Dragon Slippers cover,
okay.
The hardcover.
This one.
Because the paperback of Dragon Slippers has a different cover.
I know! I saw that when I was getting ready to order my copies on Amazon.com. It was like... That's not the cover of Dragon Slippers. And I went, oh, paperback. So
I think they're very beautiful covers.
I like all the covers, but of the Dragon books, my absolute favorite is Dragon Slippers, the hardcover. I do too. I bought the painting from the guy.
Did you?
Who is the artist?
Because it's fabulous.
His name is Peter Ferguson. The reason why there's different covers is because when they approached him to do Dragonflight, it turned out that he had decided to leave behind Montreal and go to Argentina and live in the jungle in a place that has no electricity or phone.
So you could not get a hold of him.
For 3 years to get back to nature or something like that. And I'm fairly sure he's been eaten by an anaconda by now. I can't understand why you would ever want to leave behind showers and electricity.
I don't understand.
But so, and I, and toilets.
Toilets is a big one.
So, yeah.
I but love.
So they hired Brandon Dorman, who also does the covers of Fablehaven.
Yes.
He did the paperback for Dragon Slippers. He's doing Dragonflight, and I have already warned them, please make sure before he leaves for the jungle.
Right,
That we know, he knows there's a third one coming just in case it's like a trend, like we're all going to go live in the jungle. So
exactly.
You know what I like about the Dragonflight cover, though? I love all the different dragons in the background.
Yes, that is my husband's favorite. Dragonflight of all my covers is my husband's favorite.
I like Dragonflight cover, too. That's my favorite.
Absolutely love
Forget
that.
Forget the cover. I thought meeting all these different dragons and
I thought that was fun to meet all the dragons
and everything.
I love making up new dragons. Like,
I love this one.
What color is this one?
I love the colors. That's what I love about your books. One of the things I loved about it was just the visualization. Like, I visualize these colors, like when she's in the marketplace and I can't see the name
about
of it.
The fabric and the mirrors on the stuff.
It's just like, wow, that just sounds. Well, I just visualize this.
Everything was silk.
You know?
And I thought, wow. I don't know what I would do if everything was silk.
Have you ever slept on silk on silk?
No.
Did you end up across the room?
You don't sleep on silk on silk. You just don't.
Did you end up somewhere across the room?
Yes.
You know, I love all
it's
the
like
dragons.
Flannel on flannel. Flannel sheets and flannel.
True. Not a good idea.
Flannel sheets are
Velcro.
Yeah,
seriously,
you don't
wound
it around you.
No, I still have to say, out of all the dragons, I just have a tender spot for Shardus. I just,
yes.
You know,
I still really miss Theoratus.
I liked him too.
He was kind of crotchety. He did have his weird shoe thing.
I know that shoe fetish.
Fenuel is my favorite.
Yes, he cracks.
Fenuel and his remarks in Dragonflight about Niva were just. I had so much fun writing those. Like, Niva could pass for a male. She's very masculine.
Type of. Well, that was an interesting little quirky remarks. Well, I want to get into that discussion, but first I want to hurry and add
in. Sorry. I'm just excited to talk about the books.
There's another book that I've read called As High as the Heavens by Kathleen Morgan. Kathleen Morgan used to be a very steamy writer.
Ooh, really?
She wrote very steamy, you know, like bodice-ripping...
Really?
...bare-chested books, I guess. And then she found God. And so...
So no more bodice-ripping, huh?
No. Now she writes Christian fiction. It's romance, historical romance. This one is the Scottish Highlands series, number 3. And I've read her other ones. And while they're... I really like Kathleen Morgan's books because there's a lot of chemistry, but nothing ever happens. Like, it goes a little bit further than LDS fiction would. You know, there's just a little bit more chemistry and a little more tension, romantic tension. You know, when you get one of her books from the library, you're going to go home, put your feet up, get a nice drink, hot cocoa if it's winter, ice water or lemonade if it's summer, and just read a nice romance that has chemistry, but it's clean, and there's always a message of faith and God in it. But it's not preachy, which I really like.
Love the not preachy part.
That's
so
nice.
I really her.
What's her name again?
It's like comfort books for me. Kathleen Morgan.
Kathleen.
And the fact that it's Celtic and Gaelic and Scottish.
Oh,
whatever,
Shanda's
you know,
in love then.
I'm there. So, anyway, so and then of course I read Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow, which
which I have at home, which is my next read because it's at home. So you can't give. Well, you can give away whatever you want because I'll hopefully read it this week if I can.
It's, you know, it's
between practicals and.
Yeah. Well, Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow is actually a real fairy tale.
It is.
And it's very low on magic. And
I don't care.
So
your writing style is, it's very, I like it. I enjoy
That's
it.
That's what
it's
I tell people when they're not like real fantasy people. It's like, look, there's no rhyming spells.
No, there isn't. There's just ugly trolls.
I have a low tolerance for prophecies.
You know what, Hillary, I really think that you're going to like Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow.
Oh, I'm not even worried about it.
The Lass is her name because, of course, she goes unnamed for most of her life.
Because she had a rotten mother.
Because she had a mean mom. But she knows her place in her family. She does her duty and everything. But when the time comes, she does not mind striking out. And she's very clever with the wins. I have to say that.
I thought that was very, very good.
And she gets where she wants to go. When something happens to her guy, she does not hesitate. She's like, no, I'm going.
Liking that.
That's so romantic.
She kind of has
good romance in it.
She's a nice girl, but she
gets the job done.
She does.
When it needs to be done, nobody else is going to do it for her. So
I love how she's so protective of her family, too. I mean, she would do anything for her brother, you know, her father. Just, I love that. I mean, the loyalty to her family.
The mom is fairly horrible, you know, just does not want more kids.
Right.
She's got nine.
She's got nine and is done. And is kind of regrets the last, I don't know, eight or something. But, but the last, like, no one really, you know, no one really holds it against the mom. It, mm-hmm. You know, she's mean and ornery, and the kids don't sit around going, well, our life is hard because mom is mean and ornery. It's just there, and they...
That's their mom.
For everyone everywhere because of the long, cold winter that's been... That, you know, it never warms up.
They're having a mini ice age, and we won't tell you why, Hillary.
Okay.
I don't know why you guys think I don't want to. You think I don't want to read your book.
We know you want to read it. We're just...
And I will.
We're just emphasizing why we think you'll enjoy
it. Oh, I already know I'm going to, because I enjoyed the first... And I know that they're not the same. I get that. But I enjoy the writing style.
The guy in her bed is kind of creepy.
Are you giving away secrets?
No. I know what that is.
And it's in the
fairy
tale.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They're not going to know what it is, and I know it's in the fairy
She's
tale.
She's in a very weird situation. She is.
But that's, I mean, it was just kind of like, I mean, it was okay. It's not bad. Nothing happens. There's nothing bad.
It's not nasty.
It isn't. No,
it's just kind of like,
it's weird, though. It's okay. Like... Okay, this was odd.
Yeah. Well, I think
but it's nothing bad.
The first time it happened was probably the weirdest. You know, all of a sudden you're here and, whoa!
What? Yeah, but we don't want to give too much away. But yeah, I do have to say that was a little bit like, okay. But it didn't detract from the book or anything. It was just that part of the story.
That element. And that was really hard. That was really hard to write because,
well, we'll just say it. It's in the original fairy tale. Every night when she goes to bed in the one palace,
someone basically gets into bed with her, never speaks, never does anything, just like lays there next to her all night, and she can't see who it is. She has no idea what's going on.
I would hate that.
It is. It was so hard to write that part and like not make it creepy and not make it seem like, you know, like too much. Like this was completely random. That didn't need to be there, but
it's part of the story.
It's part of the story, and it does need to be there. And at first, when you tell people that, they're like, "Why is that even?" No. Read the book,
it
you've got to have
sense.
That. And it was really hard to write it in a way that.
Well, you wrote it very
would
well.
Work for people. I'm glad.
It doesn't have anything to do with you. It's because that part of the story, it's just
odd.
It wouldn't matter what version I was reading. Just the fact that it happens, it's kind of like, oh, okay.
Is this thing that's sleeping with you human?
I just flipped to that page. Is this thing sleeping with you human?
No one ruined it all. I think if her sister hadn't said anything, and this is one thing I wanted to ask you, is if her sister hadn't said anything, do you think she would have done what she did?
I don't know. I think she might have by the time... She's supposed to live with a year in this palace,
a
year and a day, and it was getting to the point where she was trying to figure out what on earth was going on, but I don't think she would have been quite as drastic as what her sister put her up to, so...
I know. Oh, I was so mad at her sister.
It's the mom that puts her up to
really?
It, but my mom was so horrible. My mom.
Yes,
not
exactly.
My mom. My mom is a lovely woman.
The mom in the story.
The mom in the book is so awful that my editor pointed out that no one would believe that this girl would do what she said.
That's true. Makes perfect
sense.
If
this awful woman who rejected you all your life told you to do this, why would you do it?
You wouldn't be listening to her.
Well, she didn't stay when the mom told her to stay when she went to go look for the white reindeer.
Exactly. So she hasn't
wanted her to go with the
bear. She has disobeyed her mom on occasion before, so we didn't understand why she would obey her now. So yeah.
That's true.
So we put a sister up to it.
Well, and right here in the story, story, she says, when they're talking about it, she says, I don't feel threatened.
Yeah.
And so that's why
she
would do it. So she
and
felt
even
safe.
After the suggestion, she just holds off for a while.
Yeah.
You guys have to read this.
It's so good.
It's rich in depth and detail.
It is wonderful. Oh, I want to be there. Is this one going to be made into a movie? Do you think?
I would really like that.
I think this would be good.
No,
seriously, this would be a good thing.
From the beginning, I even from the time that he came into their little house, I loved. Am I saying that right, Esbjörn?
The Esbjörn, yeah.
Esbjörn.
Björn.
The Esbjörn.
I need to put the U in it, into it.
Ooh.
But the Esbjörn, that, I love him.
Oh, with the
him.
Slash through it. Ooh. Yes.
See, this little, is your specialty. Little, this is...
This is my country, bizarre right? No, pronouncing unusual Norwegian
this book,
letters.
This book is made possible by the letter...
Ooh.
Ew. Oh.
I love that. I thought that was funny. I read that to my head.
Well, I love bears anyhow. See, that's my favorite animal. I love bears.
Polar bears.
Polar bears, grizzly bears. I like them all. Tell me about the cover. Did you have... Who is this person? Just like a model?
And some model, they were looking for a photograph of a girl. They wanted to do a photograph, and this was one of two photographs they were looking at. And the other photograph that they passed on is on the cover of last year's Prince Award winner, The White Darkness by really? Geraldine McCochran. And I thought, if they had picked the other photograph, would I have won the Prince Award?
I love it.
But I do know what it sounds like.
That was, but they picked this and photograph of this girl and showed it to me. And I said, that's great, but she is not blonde. The original photograph, this girl, this model is quite fair, like quite a light blonde. And I said, no, she is a strawberry blonde.
Right.
So they tinted her hair for me.
Oh, so, I love it.
Yeah, so that
perfect.
She looked a little bit more true to form. And so, yeah, so it was really fun because they gave me a lot of...
You know,
they
what actually gave you
the one thing I wish they would have
yeah,
had.
Yeah, they actually said, what do you think? And I said, I love it, except she's not a blonde. She's a strawberry blonde. And my editor's like, you're right, let's fix it. So
they needed the Ishborn, though. There, in the background.
Well, here's the thing.
Tell me.
A couple of years ago, Edith Patou, wonderful author, mm-hmm. did East.
Right,
which is the
right.
same fairy tale. It's
exactly.
East of the Sun, West of the Moon.
Right.
And she did East, and I love her book, and it's very different. And I had been planning on writing my own version of this story since I was about 16.
Oh, wow.
And so I always knew I was going to do it. So when East came out, I was just devastated. You know, oh my gosh, no. Somebody's taking it from me. And I read it and I'm like, no, she went in a completely different direction. So I'll write, you know, my version's more traditional. She very much kind of went off in her own, just really made it her own and did different things and left
right.
out some of the weird little details, like the three old ladies and stuff. And I wanted to keep all
I
that
like
stuff.
Those,
I thought they were wonderful.
Yeah, the old monsters.
I thought they were wonderful.
So I wanted to keep all the really traditional elements. So I'm like, okay, mine's going to be completely different. But then, so when we went to do the book, we had to make sure that the cover
was different.
Was right. very different. So that's why they didn't put the polar bear on, which Aww. My sister said too. She's like, you put a polar bear on the cover of a book, I'm going to read it. And I'm like, we can't have a polar bear. You know, yeah, and they wanted funny. To go with a photograph and a more modern look because the cover of East is sort of a painting of a girl and her polar bear. And so we went different, and even like the cover or the title is Forever Long as opposed to East. You have Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow.
Right.
They really wanted to make sure that the two, basically that people looking for my book wouldn't end up with East.
Makes perfect sense.
Nothing against Edith Patou
no.
because I love that book so much, but we just wanted to make sure that people found my book.
Well, and you know what? What's really interesting,
Absolutely.
I have a friend that's an avid reader, just like a lot of us are here at this table, and she's read East and she loves it. And I was telling her about this and she says, oh, I don't know if I can read that one. She says, because
I
love
know.
East. But I've been telling
her
to.
People to read it and
well,
compare and even
now that
know.
I exactly.
So,
see, now that I've got my own copy of this, I'm handing it to her and saying, you have to read this. And so
no, it's actually different enough that I've had people say, I wasn't even sure that was the same fairy tale.
Cool. That will be good. That will be give me
because
good ammunition when I hand
hers
this to
almost towards the end has a little bit of a Cinderella
serious
going on. Yeah. Where the girl has been working in the kitchens and she goes to the ball, you know, in
interesting.
It, and stuff like that. To attract the prince's attention, she dresses up and goes to the ball. And it's very much a Cinderella, whereas mine, I stuck to the original story more, but a lot of people are saying it's more like Beauty and the Beast. And so it's kind
true.
Of funny because she did
very
more with Cinderella and I went more with the Beauty and the Beast.
I don't think there's anything wrong with reading different versions of different
well,
periods.
I absolutely
about,
love
speaking
it.
Speaking of Beauty and the Beast, how many
one?
Thousands of
oh,
versions? Of, Robin
so
McKinley's
many.
Done two herself. Mm-hmm.
Just
of
that's
Beauty
true.
And the Beast.
That's true.
That's right. How can you... reading a different version I don't know how you can pick your favorite and really know that that's the one you love if you haven't read more than one.
And I know people that collect certain stories. There are people that they have all the versions of Cinderella.
And there are a lot of those.
You know, and someone was so excited, wrote to me and said, every version of
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Oh, like the children's picture books?
Yeah.
That's one of my units.
Rick Walton. Like 50 books
on his website. Rick Walton, on his website, he is collecting versions of Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Is he really?
So you've got to check on that. Okay. And if he's got a different one, you need, or if you've got a different one, you need to let him know.
Okay.
Because he's uncovered like 600 different versions of that story.
I'm sure he's probably found all of them, because I only have about, maybe 30 at this point.
Yeah, so he's,
if he's done 600, okay.
The picture book author is doing Walton.
What is he going to do another version of his own then?
I don't know.
Is he doing
or it's
this?
Like a hobby?
Just for fun?
Every so often he'll chime in on this, I'm on a listserv of Utah authors. He'll chime in and go, we just hit 500 or something.
Oh, that is hilarious.
It's called the Goldilocks Project. And so I don't know what he's planning on doing with these, but he's got, if it's just a weird thing where he realized that there are so many different
versions
of that. Because
it's so much fun as a teacher, because I use it and I teach, and the kids are fascinated by all the different versions that are out there. And it's just fun, because you can teach them how to, read and compare and contrast. And I don't know why he's doing it, but that's why I've collected them through the years. And I love bears, so. But is it just rickwalton.com?
I believe so.
Okay.
Is that terrible?
That's fine. I'll Google him. I will
Google
him. I love to Google.
You will find Rick
Walton. Okay. Thank you. That's very good.
Well, if you remember when we were talking to Angela last time, she was mentioning how the Brothers Grimm.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
What? Everyone nods. And I'm going, what? I missed what?
Tell her. What? Go ahead and tell Jessica.
What about the Brothers Grimm?
Wasn't she telling us about that there were the different versions? Is that what she was telling us about?
Versions of it, and that how they were just so diverse, and
kind of the same thing that we're talking about here. It's just how different authors have just taken all these different same fairy tales and just given their own twist to it, which is, I think, is wonderful, and that's why I read
a great
them.
Idea.
I like to read the different twists.
And she was talking about how they were originally not old wives' tales, but like scary stories
or
something like that.
They're cautionary tales.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of.
Is eaten by the bears to teach you not to go into other people's houses and steal their things.
Yes.
And ditto Red Riding Hood for not listening and obeying her mother. Is eaten by the wolf.
Yep.
So a lot of these were cautionary tales and stuff. Well, I'm reading aloud at night this book of best loved children's fairy tales or whatever to my 3-year-old, and we'll read one and then turn the page and start a new story that's essentially the same story but slightly different. Like,
I like that.
There's almost like a duplicates of Hansel and Gretel and everything that are just different enough that they decided it was a different story, I guess. So
maybe make a different choice. No, I think the thing you're remembering also is that she told us that everyone thinks that the Brothers Grimm are the ones that wrote these stories. And what they did is they went around and collected all these stories that people had told around their campfire and, like you said, told their children.
That's right.
So if they were close enough, though, they would mash them together and kind of do their own.
It didn't end up that they got them mostly from educated rich women social circle?
Oh, I thought it was women, because it was a way to repress.
Women couldn't write.
Couldn't read and write.
That's
so all
true.
They could do is pass That's stories true. Verbally, and then they took their
and then,
stories.
Oh, yes. And they took the credit for it.
And took the credit, yeah.
Yes, there's, well,
very interesting.
East of the Sun, West of the Moon was collected by Asbjørnsen and Moe. They are kind of like the Brothers Grimm of Norway. They went around and did the same thing.
Okay, now something fascinating about you, and I read this all when I first got into you and your website. And she has the funniest blog, by the way, you guys. If you want to read something funny and just get a good laugh for the day, go read Jessica's blog.
The blog is all about how Pippin ran away and ended up spending a night in the Humane Society.
Oh,
when
no.
When I finally found her and got her back, I wasn't sure if I was going to beat the 5-pound little dog with a slipper the same size as she is or hug her. You naughty minx.
It's one of those things. But seriously, it's all just your life stuff, It's just kind of funny. But tell our listeners about Norway. Why you love the Norwegian thing. Why you?
Because my family's actually Danish and Copenhagen was an ugly city. terrible. No.
I don't think I read that. Did you put that on your website?
No.
I said, I don't recall reading that.
It's terrible. I have this really cute girl. She loves all my books, but she is from Denmark, and she, I really think, is offended at the idea that I didn't take Danish because my family is Danish as well. I'm like, no, I took Norwegian instead of Danish, and she's just shocked, and so were my grandparents. So,
but you know what? Just because you're that, I'm Italian, but that doesn't mean that I'd write books about Italian people, you know? I mean, it's kind of like, you just write what interests you.
For some reason, when I was a teenager, latched onto Norway. I wanted to go there as an exchange student. It was fascinating to me. The landscape is just breathtaking. It's just huge black rock cliffs and mountains and shaggy moss hanging off of everything and snow in some places all year round, and just really fascinating. And they have polar bears there and trolls and all this stuff. And so I just really got into Norway and wanted to write a book set in Norway and wanted to write about my favorite fairy tale, which is from Norway. And
I love it. Okay, so you actually had the idea to write Sun and Moon, Ice and Snow before you ever thought about Dragon Slippers.
Yes.
And Dragon Slippers, was your first story that you finished.
Dragon Slippers is the first thing I got published.
So you finished Sun and Moon and Ice and Snow.
No.
Okay. Hello.
The books that come before Dragon Slippers.
I only have three
have
books
yet
here.
To see the light of day.
Okay. Well, that's what we're here for.
Sixth finished manuscript.
Seriously? Wow.
Was Dragon Skin Slippers is what it was actually called. Dragon Skin Slippers, which is what it's called in the UK. The British people.
Is it really?
The British people like Dragon Skin Slippers. The American, like, the marketing department of my publisher is like, that's too big of a giveaway. So
it is totally true. We took off the skin part.
So, and very I'm terrible true. With titles, so I'm like, whatever.
Okay,
whatever,
so these other manuscripts that you have out there, are they ever going to become a published book that we can love and adore?
Some of them are fabulous.
Okay,
fabulous
can you tell us anything about them,
yes,
or can
I've
you not?
Done some great stuff.
I would love to.
I wrote a book called Lady Lily's Divorce, which I would really like to get published.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes, Lady Lily's Divorce and the Unsuitable Suitor. They are like Regency, like historical fiction.
I love it.
Kind of if you've ever read Georgette Heyer or Marion Chesney, like those sort of almost like a Jane Austen farce, like,
so we would like
set
that
in the Jane Austen time.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Romance, but very light and lots of mistaken fun. Identity type of things. And
aww,
I wrote Lady Lily's Divorce. She is just so sick of doing good works and knitting for the poor and things like that. Well, her husband is a notorious rake and man about town. But so she's holding together the family reputation, you know, by doing this after 3 years of this horrible marriage, and they sleep on separate ends of the house even, you know, and she can't do it anymore. So she leaves him and he's suddenly intrigued by her. You know, she kind of gets that type of thing. So I actually had an agent for that one. And then The Unsuitable Suitor is about her husband's little sister who ends up being attracted to an Irishman with no title.
Oh,
Lady Felicity and the Irishman with no title. So I actually had an agent for these who was so excited. He was just switching over from doing nonfiction to fiction.
Right.
And I was like going to be one of his first fiction clients. And he's quite well respected, I guess, in nonfiction circles. And he was so gung ho. And it did not occur to him that Harlequin does not publish books that are not full of
everything.
Oh dear.
Extras.
Stuff. Yes.
Things. And, and scenes.
He sent it to Harlequin?
He sent it to every romance pocketbooks. You know, type of bodice, basically people who publish bodice rippers.
And no one
likes. And I told him when I pitched the book to him, there are like 3 or 4 people that publish this type of book, and I listed them, and I had even already looked at the editors myself and said, you know, so-and-so edits this person and so-and-so edits that one. And he was going to try those after he got done going through his contacts, who are all like blaze romance type of thing. And so I got wonderful, like, letters. They were so interested. If you could just please add scenes of an adult nature to chapters. My favorite was one where they had actually listed chapters where they thought I could probably insert something. You know, like in chapters 3, 5, 7, 12, you know. And I looked at some of these chapters and went,
where?
How is this even possible? She's alone in the house, you know, just
by herself.
What is going on?
There's no way
wouldn't to do so anything with.
Basically, we had a contract for a year, and at the end of the year, he hadn't managed to sell it anywhere because I refused to do that to my books. And he's like, well, let's sign on for another year, and then maybe I'll start trying the people you recommended. And I said, you know what? I think I'll be fine. So,
bye.
No. So,
thanks for playing.
Those, I did several. Dragon Slippers is the first book that I wrote that was for younger readers.
Right.
My other three before I wrote Dragon Slippers, and I did the two historicals kind of for fun one summer. They really didn't take very long to write. I had read a whole bunch of Georgette Heyer and Marion Chesney books and suddenly did two of my own. I had written a book that's going to be part of a series that will be published, I swear. That's kind of like an X-Files type of thing.
Ooh,
where it's like
that sounds good.
The U.S. Marshals have kind of their little subgroup that they don't tell anyone they hire, but they are government-paid witches, basically. And anytime there's a magically perpetrated crime, it's turned over to this
girl. I like that. I might actually read that.
Yeah, so the book is this girl has actually left them. She worked with them for years and years and could not take it anymore. And so she stopped using magic. She stopped doing any of the stuff. She's just going to college as a regular person. And basically an old one of the
villains,
whatever, criminals, basically, that they had never found comes after
hunts her down.
And she has the choice of, like, rejoining the group and helping them fight this guy or
doing it on her
possibly
own.
Dying. So, oh, yeah.
This sounds so good.
That does sound good.
This could sell.
Yes. So my agent's really excited and she wants to see it.
Oh, this needs to be out now. Yeah. That sounds really good.
But you want to read it now.
I know.
But what then has happened to me is I've started writing basically what would be a prequel. So I'm thinking about holding back until I write why she left the group, what happened to her.
There you go.
You know,
that's
people
probably
she was
idea.
Working with were killed in
that's
one
a
of
good
the,
idea. Yeah.
One of the engagements, and so that's why she left. And so I thought, you know what, instead of doing prequels, since George Lucas gave those a bad name.
Yes, he did.
He absolutely did.
Perhaps we should just go ahead and make that the third book in the trilogy and write the first two. So I did that. I did a version of King Arthur, Queen Guinevere, really.
I love that time.
Because
I
he's supposed to return. He's
yes,
supposed to
he
come
is.
Back
yes.
in England's great hour of greatest need. But think about all the times he has not come back. They've
that is
had
very
civil
true.
Wars. You know, London was pretty much bombed flat during World War II.
That's right.
And so I just imagined what would actually make King Arthur come back. And so it's set in the 25th century.
I love that.
And so Guinevere is still alive. What they did was they kept her alive all this time. She was given immortality and absolutely perfect recall. If she blinks twice, she can see whole scenes completely replay so that when he comes back, she'll be able to educate him in what he's missed. So he won't be just like wandering around going, what's a car, you know? So she's supposed to educate him. But by the time he comes back, it's been so long, she gave up.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's the book that has my favorite rejection letter of all time, because the title of the book is The Queen Immortal. And I got back a rejection letter saying, when I sent it to a publisher, saying, we don't do vampire novels.
And I just went, you didn't even read this.
It's
you
like,
just looked up the title.
You don't do vampire novels.
Why? We don't do vampire novels.
I have a question for you. Do you do that little trick that some authors do where they take one page of the manuscript and flip it an opposite way so they can see if it even got that read into that
No.
Angela
because
told us about that.
Yeah, Angela
really?
Does. Yeah. Because I actually
Did you spell secret, Ange? supposed to
yeah, she kept saying
it's not gonna hurt
I shouldn't
anything.
Be saying this. I shouldn't be saying this.
Really?
That's it. No, I would recommend that, but
I know I personally.
It sounds like a good idea to me.
What I usually did though was actually send just a letter-sized envelope for a return answer and just ask them to please just shred, you know, what I had sent. So
and they'll do that then?
Yeah. Just rather than paying the postage, because I sent out that manuscript, the entire manuscript, 400 pages long. I had quite a few people interested in that book, actually. So sending them the whole manuscript costs like $20, you know, if you send it priority and make it look nice in a fancy box and stuff like that. And so I didn't want it.
So you can get it back.
They won't pay to get it back. Yeah. So I did that like once and it was basically $40 for me to send my book.
And you're sending out too many places and different people. And
you know, it came back all mangled and I just shredded it myself. And I just, after that,
I paid $40 to shred this.
I just put like, please recycle or something like that on the bottom of the letter. Like, if you don't want it, please recycle it or something like that. So I didn't never know if they were, and a lot of times you're just pitching to them through a letter. So.
That's true.
That's when you look at it and you go, you just looked at the title of the book and went, whatever, and we don't do vampire novels.
That is immediately
assume it's a vampire novel.
That is so funny. This sounds fascinating.
It does sound good. Of course it would probably be picked up now as a vampire novel because now vampires are huge.
They are huge.
Apparently
no
one wanted them. So it's been years.
You know what? It just amazes me, everything you're talking about. Just you have all the books that you've written. I mean, they are just so varied. It just amazes me.
They're all over.
I mean, this
is
exciting.
Such talent.
This is the end of episode 26, part one, but not the end of the fun. Join us for part two as we continue our interview with Jessica Day George.